This podcast is brought to you by the Dutch media platform Triathlon Inside. 1, 2, 3, 4. What is up, guys, and welcome back to a new episode of Grit Grind Girona. Today, we are joined by the incredible triathlete Jonas Schomburg. Over the last 10 years, Jonas has been a big presence in the short-distance triathlon world. He's a very familiar face because whenever there's a race, you can always find him at the front. From clinching the Under-23 Aquathlon World Championship title in 2016, to representing Germany at the Tokyo and the Paris Olympics, he has accomplished a lot of great things. But in 2025, Jonas made a stunning debut in the long-distance triathlon, finishing third at the Ironman South Africa only about a month ago, where he shared the podium with Magnus Ditlev and Martin van Riel. His transition from sprint and Olympic distances to the grueling Ironman format showcases that he's capable to perform on all different kinds of races. Join us today as we explore Jonas's training philosophies, his experience racing across all different continents, and his insights into the mental fortitude required to excel in one of the most demanding sports on the planet. This is Grit Grind Girona. Let's dive in. Jonas, welcome.
Welcome. Thanks for having me. Pleasure to be here. Nice introduction. Sound really good. A good career. And
long career already,
getting there, 10 years already, ITU career, and maybe some more interesting years are coming up now.
Already only 31 years, I think, right?
31,
we're from the same year, but already so long in the sport as well, and such a long thing. Before we move on I will explain to you what we're going to be doing in the podcast. I want to make something clear, and that's the first question of the day. Is it Jonas Schomburg or Jonas Stromberg?
Jonas Schomburg.
Jonas Schomburg. Yeah. You understand why I ask the question?
No.
Well, you've been doing Ironman South Africa and Ironman Venice as well, and then they have the live coverage. It's the Ironman Pro Series. They have that kind of cool live coverage for the whole race and these kind of things. And I don't know who the woman is that does the coverage, the live commentator, but she always says Jonas Stromberg. I'm like, for South Africa, for example, 7 hours in, still Stromberg. I'm like, come on, you even see his name on the TV, okay. You know?
I have to make it right.
Come on.
Some call me like Skomberg, but it's okay. Schomburg.
Schomburg, right. So with this podcast, first of all, I would like to get to know you a little bit better, see where you're from, why and how did you start triathlon, and we try to get to know you a little bit better. First of all, with the help of a couple of quick fire questions.
Okay.
So that's gonna be the first thing that we do. Afterwards, we can talk a little bit about the answers that you gave me, and we'll talk a little bit about that. And after that, we will also be talking a little bit about Girona. Because in the end, we are in Girona right now. The podcast is Grit Grind Girona. And in the end of the podcast, I think it's nice and cool to be looking forward to this season, what you have already been doing this season, because it's has been pretty cool. But I think there will be coming a lot of cool things coming up as well soon, I think. And we will look a little bit towards what's coming up. And so we'll start for now with the first round of quickfire questions.
Okay, let's shoot.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. What is your proudest achievement in your sport?
I think the two Olympics, making it. When I started triathlon, it's like the Olympics. And I know only two German athletes or male athletes made two Olympics. And I'm the third now. So it's quite a good achievement.
What has been your hardest race so far?
I must say, Ironman South Africa was hard, even though it was just a training day. But the last 25K was pretty long. And that was probably one of the hardest. Yeah.
Besides Deutsch and English, of course, what languages do you speak? Are there more?
Still learning Spanish here in Catalan. But my French is pretty good because I lived 3 years in France and trained with Leo Berger, Dorian Konigs in Grenoble, and they taught me French.
Okay.
And it was a nice time, like 3 years crash course French and everyday French. So my French is even better than my Spanish right
okay.
now.
Okay, nice. What is your, it can be South Africa, but I don't know. What is your most memorable finish line moment?
Probably, South Africa was, but also the two Olympics crossing the line. I mean, for Olympics, there's almost so much preparation also going in the month before. This is
the 4 years before, right?
Basically, yeah. The qualification process takes 2 years. So it's like crossing the line is like end of a chapter, kind of.
I can imagine, yeah. Is there one person you look up to for inspiration?
There are a couple of guys that I'm talked and like Chris McCormick, and they always, like Jan Frodeno, they give me some advice, and I try to speak as much as possible with the basically legends, even from Germany, like the old guys, Thomas Hellriegel, and then I called them, asked them for advice. And I mean, the sport changed quickly in the last years, but it's always nice to have a good advice from them.
What is your dream race destination?
Kona is on my list. And I love the heat, the humidity. So the hotter, the better normally for me. And so Kona is on the big on my list. And this year I'm qualified for Nice. Maybe next year it's the big shot.
What is your favorite movie?
I must say I'm not a movie person. Okay. No, not a big reader, not a movie person. When I recover, I almost sleep. big napper. So
okay.
Two naps a day.
That's your hobby, to nap.
basically 12 hours, wow. 14 hours a day.
Wow.
Sleeping.
Well, that's good. Besides Hawaii, Kona, is there still a race you would really like to do?
For sure, the German Ironman, like Roth and Frankfurt, are on my list. And I heard so much good stuff about Roth that I actually have to put it on my bucket list. Especially as a German, I think the atmosphere is something different.
Yeah. What is your favorite sport outside of triathlon or swimming, cycling, running?
I lived a couple of years in South Africa, so surfing was up there. It's always nice, something different than triathlon. Kite surfing, also a big fan. When we were younger, a lot of sailing. So the water sports, I'm a big fan.
Cool. If you could train with any athlete in history, who would it be?
I mean, I like to train with Alistair Brown, kind of, even though he shouted at me sometimes in the races, but it's always something different, I think. You never know what's coming up with him.
I have not raced him, but from the people who did, I always hear he was shouting and stuff like that in the races, but then after or before after races, he was also always such a easy guy, nice guy, and, and good to be talking about. But
that's depends all. A bit on the result, but yeah.
Probably, yeah. Who is the funniest athlete you know?
Difficult question. I can't say anyone like super funny, but. It's always
still a lot of triathletes, of course. Maybe not the most funny.
Especially before the race, some are really getting serious. But like spending time with Jan Stratmann last week was kind of funny. Yeah. And but for sure, some.
I've been living with Jan for 3 months or so to get in the same house. You know that?
Really?
Yeah. 2019.
He never stops talking. Huh?
Are you more of an early bird or a night owl?
Not an early bird, for sure.
I always see you at beginning your day, at training day at like 10 or 11 in the morning.
The swimming, when everyone had finished already, 8:30, I was like, everyone in the pool is so busy. So I try to skip it. But then you have to
do a lot of training, like at 6 or 7 as well, right?
Yeah, and my break between the sessions is always really small. So when I did my, I think last year I had a period when I trained almost up to 40 hours, and then it's kind of busy.
Yeah. Well, if you start at 10 or 11, then your day is totally full of training, and then, yeah. But in the end, I mean, you just said, yeah, I'm sleeping almost 12 hours a day. If you gotta start the, you gotta sleep somewhere, of course.
And Spanish rhythm, adapting here.
If you could visit any country tomorrow, where would you go?
I haven't been like in East, like Croatia or something. This might be some interesting.
Eastern part of Europe?
Yeah, I haven't been there, so.
Do you listen to any music or podcast during your training or not at all?
Quite a lot. So I just bought a 5th or 6th pair of my AirPods because they are broke. And I'm listening a lot of music now, kind of in the 2000 mix area right now.
Good.
And especially today, my 4-hour ride was, I like to hear some music. Yeah.
Do you prefer training with other people or training on your own?
I do most of my sessions alone because I think like the efficiency is, and I can do my training when what's good for me. But I also like to socialize once a while and go with the swim with Milan.
What is one thing on your bucket list, and you can't say Kona?
Okay.
Or Challenge Road or Frankfurt.
The Ironman Pro Series.
Okay.
So I'm put my focus on this one maybe. I'm ranked now 2nd in the series and
crazy, yeah.
I think there's a good option to get a good paycheck at the end of the year. Yeah. So we see what's the outcome, but I think I reckon a top 5 is possible for me.
Yeah. Well, that would for sure be a very good paycheck, I think. But yeah. We will talk about like the Ironman Pro Series and whatever you're going to be doing or have been doing this year and coming up for the upcoming months. We'll be talking about that in a little bit. Just continuing on with these kind of things, like I've got the feeling that you're already for such a long time into triathlon, right? When did you start doing triathlon?
So professionally, basically when I left school, 17, I did finish school and my family moved to South Africa, and then I was basically pro already.
Wow.
So I started with gymnastics, but then I started triathlon. Like I got too tall, and then I started triathlon when I was 10 years. And then basically when I was 17, I did my first European Cups already and being a pro since then, so 14 years.
Yeah,
it's a long time.
And how did you got into triathlon then when you were 10, you said?
My dad was a professional. Okay. So he raced and tried to qualify for Sydney Olympics, missed it. And it was kind of my first, getting in touch with triathlon was pretty easy.
Yeah. Whenever you're one of your parents is doing it.
My brothers also did triathlon, okay. And then I hopped on and stick to it. Like I also did a lot of cycling races when I was younger and loved it. Like every weekend also the cross country and the road races on the track even. But triathlon, I was pretty good.
Yeah.
With my swimming background also a bit and stick to it.
Did you you say swimming backgrounds? Did you first start with swimming or?
I finished like the gymnastics and then I started swimming and cycling and triathlon and swimming. I think it's my strong point, even though I don't like it that much as cycling, but I'm pretty tall and I think it's good for the short and fast stuff.
Yeah, I think you probably will have a crazy mobility after all the gymnastics that you have been doing, right, as well?
Oh, yeah, mobility, but for running,
it's a little bit better.
Yeah.
But, you said you were, when you were around 17, you guys moved to South Africa. Where in South Africa?
East London. That's Eastern Cape, like basically 300K from Port Elizabeth, okay, where the Ironman was.
Yeah. So it was almost a home race for you.
It was a home race. Yeah. So local race. I knew a lot of guys there. Okay, so cool. It was a nice one.
How long have you been living in South Africa from that point on?
From that on was like every time in the European winter in South Africa and European summer here in Germany. Because the races were going on here and not that much traveling, but 5-6 years.
Wow. Yeah. It's been a cool experience, I think, right?
Coming from
Germany and going to a other side of the world almost.
Different,
you know,
culture, different, yeah. So
did your parents had to work something over there, or why did you guys?
They had a kind of a gap year because they were teachers, and my dad had a development project with the lifeguards there and taught them how to swim for the triathlon.
That's the South African I can hear it. Yeah.
Then I had 3 years in France and then moved here back to Girona.
Yeah. Wow. And how did you end up in France? Through one of the clubs from the French Grand Prix or?
I knew Leo from the Super League and the ITU race, mm-hmm, Leo Berger. Mm-hmm. And such a nice guy. So he asked me to come for a training camp to Grenoble. And then I said, yeah, why not? And did 2 weeks stint there. So 2 weeks training camp and I was like, it's pretty nice here. And then stayed there.
Yeah. 3 years in France as well. Yeah, that's pretty cool to have been around such an environment with these kind of guys and training in such a strong group, I think, as well.
It was
a really
strong group, yeah.
Yeah. What do you, when was that? When did you move to, were you 23, 24, I think then?
Around, yeah.
And at that point on, you were already really into like the international ITU scene already for a couple of years, of course. Was the 2016 Olympics in Rio, was it also a chance or not really?
I tried to qualify for Turkey because my goal was Rio Olympics, mm-hmm, and the Turkish Federation gave me the chance to qualify for Rio Olympics.
Okay.
I did a European Cup in Istanbul and did a breakaway with Rudi van der Berg, I remember.
Yeah?
He raced back then for Italy.
Really?
And we had like a 2 minute gap and I attacked him again. So I had another minute on him after, but yeah, the Turkish coach, he was Italian, and he asked me after the race if I want to race for Turkey to qualify for Rio Olympic Games.
All right.
So he gave me the opportunity. I missed the qualification by, I think, like 20 points.
Wow.
So really, really close. And after that, the president changed and the situation changed, and I raced back for Germany.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting or crazy to be suddenly racing for a different country and stuff like that.
Well, yeah.
Have you been in Turkey then at that point as well, or totally not at all, actually?
I haven't been there that long. Okay. Like for a training camp for 2 weeks, and that's basically, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I've got a few like questions about this kind of thing, but we gotta move on as well because there's a lot of things we can talk about. But interesting that you've been racing for Turkey.
It was an interesting time. Also, I raced a lot of, or I didn't.
Did you have to go to? That's one question. Do you have to? Sorry for interrupting, but get a passport and stuff like that as well.
For the Olympics, you need the passport. Okay. So that's if you want to change the nation or the country. And to race for Olympics, you need the passport. And in different countries, it takes Norway, 7 years. Switzerland, like 7 years.
Wow.
Austria, 5 years or something. In Turkey, it was
1 month.
It was really fast, I would say. Yeah. Okay. And but the racing and the qualification process was not easy as expected. Like, I traveled always on my own, and I was like 19, 20 years old, no coach and no federation, basically. And when you go to Mexico on your own when you're 19 and
you have to find out
see all
yourself.
The federation, and you learn a lot. And I think that's why I have so much experience, because I did everything on my own already and traveled to so many races and know which one are good for me and which I don't like.
Yeah. Interesting time.
Interesting time, good experience.
Yeah,
but
I can imagine.
If I would do it again, I don't know.
Okay.
But I think I learned a lot and helped me for sure for the next qualification process in Tokyo, because I was way more relaxed in the test event and got the direct qualification.
Was it in
2019,
right?
Yeah,
2019.
That was, I needed top 10, I think,
okay.
And finished ninth in the... And yeah, first race, got the qualification. That was unbelievable.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was that feeling like to be? We are talking now 2019. You have been having the dream to go to Olympics. Well, for sure, since you've been racing professionally since you were 17, for so many years already. And then you have the Tokyo test event coming up 1 year before, and you have to be top 10, finishing ninth. What was it feeling like to you're getting your dream for real, you know?
Yeah, really, it's like I knew the course or the weather suits me with the hot and humid conditions.
Mm-hmm.
The water was 30 degrees.
Wow.
And the run, I know it's not going to be a super fast one because everyone is a bit afraid. So... I was with the Hayden and Alex, I think, and Tyler, Mr. Chuck. I remember I was in the top 5 for a really long time. And then I was looking back and okay, I've got this.
Were you counting all the time as well?
I was counting it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Top 10, how far is it? 30 seconds back. I was I've got this. And then the last 500 meters, I was celebrating already. And... It's such a long... Normally, it takes so much. The qualification process takes 2 years.
Bam, immediately.
Yeah, that was a dream.
Yeah. Well, it used to be 1 year later, but COVID happened, of course. So it ended up being 2 years later that you were going to Tokyo. Was the qualification still valid? Yeah.
Big
or not, or...
There was big discussion, actually.
Okay, yeah. I didn't know.
So how does the process work? Was they called me and they said, we have to requalify because it's...
2 years later, yeah.
But me and Laura Lindemann, we got the slot already.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally they said, okay, you guys are qualified.
Yeah.
And the others had to do a super... sprint or something in Germany to get the second spot for the relay.
Yeah. What was the Olympics in Tokyo like for you? Such a strange atmosphere, probably, and feeling and these kind of things. And
I must say I focused on the race because first experience with the Olympics, and was I didn't know what to expect, but my shape was really good. And I crashed on the bike. So it wasn't even my fault, but this is racing. And I haven't crashed for long, but at the Olympics. So after that, I was in the back and finished 38 or something. But I was got a kind of a depression afterwards, also getting shingles, because all of the stress and the disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
And
but you mean in the weeks after, or months after?
Okay. Yeah. And it took me a while to get over it.
That's not something you hear that often, right?
No, normally chingat you get a like old man or something.
But
the immune system was really down. Yeah.
Is it also maybe that for such a long time you've been working towards this big thing, this big goal, and then suddenly the goal is not there anymore? You know, it's past. It's in the past now. Next, Olympics were only supposed to be 4 years, but now 3 years later, was it also like you've reached the goal of going to Olympics and now what? Or was that not really the case?
For sure. And also like the disappointment and knowing I could do much, much better.
Yeah.
Then when you know it's like it's a one-day race, it takes now
3 years.
3 years. And you don't even know if you make it because the qualification process in Germany is like, or in Europe, it's a hard way. Mm-hmm. And
a lot of stronger people in Germany now as well. Eh?
So many.
Well, now always have been for sure.
Yeah, but right now so many.
Yeah.
So many. Yeah, it's really popular. Yeah.
And then, well, you could have decided after Tokyo, I'm done with this, but you didn't because. Well, you went to the Olympics last year as well. Mm. In the end, when and or how did that change? You know, of the feelings that you just had, like the disappointments and these kind of things. How did you turn it into like, there's another chance coming up in a couple of years. Let's focus on that and let's go for it.
As the process takes 2 years, it was like 1 year basically. And then it started already. Like it was not even like that long.
Yeah.
And
yeah. So 2021 were the Olympics, and then 2022
this process started again.
Yeah, exactly.
And then so you're already in the game already. So it was not that long in my head, and I was like, I can do much better. And the focus was on Paris then from that on.
Yeah. What were before we talk or go towards Paris, what were some of the highlights? Because we're talking about Olympics, but there, in between, there are so much races going on. And I think you as well have been doing so much races, right? Especially last year, you had such a period where you were trying to qualify. You were flying all over the world every weekend, right?
Yeah.
What are some of the highlights that like immediately come up to your mind? Oh, that was a cool thing, or that was a good race, or good result, these kind of things.
For sure, I had to do the qualification process for Paris was basically for the last spot, and I needed more points. Mm-hmm. So I raced a lot of World Cups, like six races in a row from every weekend. And there was,
but also in Asia, and then here, and then there, right?
It was crazy, so and so. But I did pretty well in every race, and I think when you're on the high, it's easy to keep going.
Continue, yeah.
Yeah. And then I had good, like every time a breakaway, and was like I was also pushing on the bike to make the breakaway happen.
Yeah.
And it was good fun actually. I mean, I was on the roll. And this was 6 weeks, and like really.
This was in was it beginning of last year, or was it?
Yeah, in March it started. Okay, April. Yeah.
March 2024.
Mid of May.
And when or how did you ended up qualifying again?
That was at the World Cup in Samarkand in Uzbekistan. I did another breakaway with six guys, and on the run it was between us. We had like a 2 minute gap on the pack, and then
that's a big gap.
It was a big gap, yeah. And on the run it was all controlled, and then sprint finished, and I finished third and got decent points and make the qualification.
Nice. And then last year in the summer. Paris, total different atmosphere and feeling as Tokyo for sure, I think.
Yeah, then you know what they were talking about when you compare Tokyo and Paris, that like the atmosphere and the fans, that make a huge difference.
How was Paris for you?
Also not the race what I was hoping for.
Okay.
Unfortunately, the swim was rough with the current.
It was such a crazy situation, right? With ice, is the race going to happen or not, and these kind of things.
In the morning, it's going to be the next day. And with the current, it was actually a lot of more fighting than expected. And everyone's pretty close together, and it was then a running race. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have the legs for that.
Yeah. Where did you end up?
24th, I think, or 26th. I don't know.
Better than Tokyo.
Better, yeah.
Yeah. That was happening last year, in the summer of last year. Did you ended up doing still a couple of short distance races last year as well, right? After that? Not anymore. I that you did your first half distance last year.
I did the middle distance here in Spain.
Yeah.
Fromista got the Spanish record.
Oh yeah. Oh wow.
Yeah. And then San Remo, I did the challenge.
Okay. Yeah.
And after that, I got an unfortunate stress fracture in my sacrum.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was not able to race the Grand Final.
That's also one thing I wanted to talk to you a lot about, because also leading up to Paris, you were injured a bit, right?
I had some issues with my hip.
Yeah.
But I was actually all right then. Okay. Yeah. But it took me like a week or so. And yeah. And also the insecurity a bit from my speed and mm-hmm. the running. But mm-hmm. I did a lot of biking back then. And I think
I remember you all doing almost every day 4 or 5 hour riding or so, right?
30 hour riding.
Wow.
I must say it helps actually quite a lot.
I think so. Yeah.
Also with my stress fracture, I was riding like 2 weeks, almost, what was it, 1,500K or something.
Wow.
And it was actually really good for my run afterwards. Like the strength you get.
Yeah.
Just easy riding. And then crushing here Wednesday Worlds at
Wednesday Worlds. It's a good training.
It's a good training. Haven't done it since then.
Before we move on to 2025, you were talking about Wednesday Worlds in Girona. Well, let's talk a little bit about Girona then. So let's do it with another round of quick fire questions. And the first one is, since when are you living in Girona?
3 years now.
3 years. What is your favorite place for coffee in Girona?
I must say La Comuna, probably. I'm going down from my place to La Comuna is the easiest and convenience.
Yeah.
And then before my ride, up.
It's a nice place. What is your favorite bike loop?
I only have like 3 or 4 loops. I like to keep it simple.
Yeah.
For my sessions and everything. So Elton Gels, the 1 hour 30, it's my favorite one.
Yeah.
I like climbing. I like it. And it's not too much to the city and stuff. And so it's I'm living more in the north, so mm-hmm. it's easy to get out.
So Elton Gels and first you go to Serra, I think.
Yeah.
Adramania, Elton Gels, and then back. It's a nice, easy.
It's an easy one.
Do you prefer running on the Vias Verdes or you... Do you do some trail running on Els and Gels as well?
I like to... It's my gym, basically, the trails. So all my easy stuff I try to do in the trails.
Okay.
Also for my ankles and stability and stuff, it's really good training, actually. So I do all my easy stuff there, and just the sessions I go for the gravel path.
You also have been running some time at the gravel paths around Celta, right?
Yeah.
Back of trade in a little bit over there?
For my speed sessions, yeah.
And then why are you over there?
There's like the tarmac, and it's maybe even faster, but it's so windy there.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
Yeah, but it's something different. Yeah. To mix it up a bit. Yeah.
Have you been running in Bagnoles as well, or not really?
True. I also like to do Bagnoles sessions around the lake, even though it's quite hard. Mm-hmm. Like it's always up and down a bit, and combine it with a lake swim, and that's nice. What I'm doing Saturday almost every week.
Already now as well?
Or? Not yet.
Okay, not yet.
I haven't been in the water there.
No. Have you been to a Girona football game?
Not yet. No.
Not yet.
No. I'm traveling so much with the races. And
yeah, you're traveling for 6 weeks in a row. So.
Then the training camps and the Forumur and stuff. So it's nice to have some more time now in Girona.
Do you have a favorite restaurant in Girona?
Not a big restaurant guy, I say. I like to stay at home and do it for my own. Yeah.
Besides training and sleeping, I gotta add that as well with you. What is your favorite thing to do in or around Girona? Maybe if you have a day off and you don't want to get a sleep or something like that. Do you have something or not really?
No days off.
No days off.
But
days
off. I like to go for a coffee for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Then combine it, going in the city, but coffee a bit, something different.
Is there something you dislike about Girona?
A lot of tourists recently.
Yeah. Recently, of course, all the time.
And all the time.
Next week we have got the flower festival.
True.
That's so the busiest week, I think, as well. Of the
year. But makes it, unique. Girona, sure. I think, is a place to travel and to see. It's on the bucket list, I think, from everyone here and from the triathletes and cyclists. It makes it a special place.
Yeah. Is there something you like the most about Girona?
You can do all the training and still have a good life here without having the biggest city. So it's all in short ways, and you can go riding with a bike to the city, and it's everything is so close, so that's a big plus.
Already 3 years. Have you been coming before for some camps as well, stuff like that, or not really? Why and how did you end up in Girona then?
Frodeno was probably the first triathlete here, and made it a
It actually wasn't. I know that Nick Kastelein and these kind of guys, they were here actually before, but because of Jan.
Yeah, it got popular.
Got popular and famous. Yeah.
And then Vince moved here. Mm-hmm. I moved here. Yeah.
Martin, the Belgian. Belgian, yeah. And then it just seemed like a cool place, a nice place to be here.
And then I stayed here. Yeah.
It's a cool place. Yeah. 2025. Post-Olympic year. 31 now. You should not be too old for short distance.
Getting old,
I mean, next one is in 3.5 years from now.
Los Angeles.
Los Angeles. Yeah. Is that something still in your mind?
Back in the mind, because when I hear it's like hot and humid, then it's like, okay.
Yeah.
When I see the running times of Hayden Wild and Alex Yee, then I say, oh, gonna be a fast
one.
Crazy. No one did 3 Olympics yet from the males,
from the German,
males. So why not? But I want to enjoy also something different. Like I have done so many IT races in the last year. Something
a lot of the same stuff, I think, as well, right?
It's always basically the same races on the circuit, and now I gave me some time to do something new. And I must say, I enjoy it and have a
Is it also maybe something, it still is triathlon, it still is the same sport, but it feels different maybe, right?
Yeah, I haven't changed my training.
Okay.
So I'm still doing my ITU program, which was always a bit more.
But yeah, you've been running your bike for 30 hours a week. You've been doing Ironman training for already a year.
Yeah. So my mileage is higher than normally.
Yeah.
And that's why probably I enjoy the 70.3s and the long stuff.
Yeah. When did you, because also in the live stream of Ironman South Africa, but also you mentioned it as well, you saw it as a training day. But I think back in November or October or something like that, you already told me, I might do South Africa, these kind of things. Right? You're already looking a little bit forward to like do these things, I think, right?
Yeah, I was putting my name on every race. Yeah. Why not? You never know what's coming up. And I might be in this region because I still spend like a lot of time in South Africa, and it's not far from my family place. And then I was like, okay, let's do it.
Yeah. What was, I said it in the introduction, third place behind Magnus Ditlev and Marten van Riel, and in front of a lot of other strong guys who have proven themselves already for longer time on the longer distances. Was it expected?
From my side, I was actually more confident in my run than my bike, so I don't know. But I like to push it on the bike, and then I had a 1 minute gap on the Martin and was like, okay, maybe it's too fast.
Yeah, because you guys came out of the water with Martin, in the front group with Martin, with Jamie Riddle, with Andrew, Orsel Turner, and maybe someone as well, I can't remember.
Yeah.
But then already quite fast, you were solo up front. Yeah.
And I didn't know what to, like, I haven't run a marathon before. And my longest run was like 26K.
Okay.
And also on the bike, they said it was like the last 40K going to be really hard. And so I was like, okay, holding a bit. And then
holding a bit, you were 1 minute in front of Martin,
waiting for the guys. Okay. But then Magnus passed me with such a speed.
And yeah, it was crazy. What went through your mind when you saw Magnus pass like that?
Go with him. But then I looked at my watch and I was like 450, and I was like a bit really? Down here. I was like, no chance.
But for sure, he was attacking as well.
Right? He was attacking. Yeah, he was smart. Like he stayed like 10 minutes behind me. And then he did the move at the right time, like crosswind. And
at how many kilometers in the race was this?
That was like 100K.
Okay. Little bit over halfway on the bike.
Yeah.
And you ended up riding
with Martin and me.
You ended up riding with Martin. Magnus was 6 or 7 minutes ahead of you guys off the bike. Yeah. And then you guys started the marathon. You've been running for a little bit with Martin as well, right? Mm. And what was the feeling like after 26 kilometers? On 30, 35, that was a new experience for you, right?
Yeah, after 14, I was like already in my jogging mode and sleeping. But I focused on the nutrition and that kept me going, and also drinking Coke.
Okay, yeah.
To get me through. I mean, the last 20K was quite hard, but also mentally, like, keep going. I didn't want to walk, and I didn't walk. That was kind of a bonus. The new racing with the age groupers and the fellows of the pro athletes were like shouting, "Go Jonas, go Jonas!"
Oh yeah, nice.
And I was like, something different, and never experienced before this in the ITU.
Cool. Well, you back in ITU, you were running for 30 minutes, so you also didn't have the chance that much to get so much support, and now you were running for 2 hours 40?
2:41.
Yeah. Third place in your first full Ironman in 7:52, and racing with and in between Martin and Magnus, it's pretty insane. And indeed, as we were talking about, because it was the first full distance in the Pro Series for the year, for the Ironman Pro Series, it puts you immediately to a very good spot in the series. Yeah. With only 3
points.
Right now, but how much minutes did you finish behind Magnus in South Africa?
7 minutes?
7 minutes or so. Seven minutes. So you still got a lot of points. I think there was a massive gap behind you guys, right? After you?
Behind me was like 15 minutes.
Wow.
That was a big gap.
A lot of the guys behind you guys didn't have much points.
South Africa is so hot, rough, so windy, blows everyone apart.
And then, you finished third. You already get so many points. Get a slot for the World Championships in Nice. Then suddenly your whole season looks different, right?
Haven't planned it, so this is a nice bonus. Nice, it's now on my list in September.
Yeah,
I reckon also the course is maybe better than a flat aerial course. Like the hills and is more for the punchy stuff. Is more for the ITU guys, and I think I'm not like heavy as the other Ironman guys, so I might have a bonus there for on the bike. Yeah.
But then, as I'm talking about, for sure you know that Nice is going to be a big race for you this year. But then also after South Africa, for sure, you're now ranked so highly in this series. You're thinking like, oh, now I need to do some more Pro Series races as well, right? So already last weekend, you were racing your second Ironman Pro Series race of the year in the 70.3 in Venice, right? Fifth place. And a lot of points.
Good points. Of course, a really fast race. Different and a lot of guys, a lot of fast guys.
Yeah.
And next up is Aix-en-Provence next week.
Next week in, what is it, 9 days from now, 8 days from now?
Mm.
Yeah. And that's going to be your second half. And you need to get the maximum points. You need two full Ironmans. Three full Ironmans and two half Ironmans.
Yeah.
Okay, three full Ironmans and two half Ironmans.
I'm also qualified now for 70.3 Worlds November, where you get like
more points. Yeah.
So Aix-en-Provence is gonna be like a kind of a bonus race. I can allow to take some risk, but we see. But it's gonna be a cool race. Like the Norwegians are coming.
Exactly.
A lot of French guys. They are always strong in France.
But isn't the because you know now after last weekend, your second race, and Ironman Texas have been already as well, and some other races in the process have been there. A couple of the guys, you already start to see some of your competitors in the series, right? You are now ranked second, only 3 points behind Rudy.
Yeah.
He's ranked first. But you have Christian. You have got a couple of others after behind those guys as well. For sure, Aix-en-Provence is and Venice as well. But Aix-en-Provence, what's coming up is a race, you know. But is it also, because I haven't experienced anything like this? But is it also really like you're going into that race thinking the series in your mind as well, or?
It was more in Venice actually.
Okay.
When I know I can't win, how much deficit do I have?
You gotta keep pushing, winner?
Yeah, and then it's even for the last second. You see, I've got now 3 points behind Rudy. So that's like maybe 10 seconds, not even. So it's going to be...
3 points is 3 seconds, right? I think every second is 1 point, I think.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
So, Aix-en-Provence is going to be a bit different. Like it's a hard course on the bike, and I think it splits up more the pack. And so we will see, but for sure, I've got... Christian, Rudy, and Magnus on the list for the Pro Series win. They have got
Magnus will do St. George this weekend.
True. Yeah. And then Frankfurt.
Frankfurt.
Yeah.
Cool. End of June.
End of June. I will put my name on and we see.
First big German Ironman or full distance for you?
Yeah. It's gonna be.
It's gonna be cool, right?
Different, especially as a German. I know. It's like a home race then, and especially on the run, the four loops, and the mine, gonna be even better than South Africa.
It's a cool race. Yeah. What will the build up towards Frankfurt for you look like? First, you got Aix-en-Provence next week, and then after you're going to Font-Romeu, right?
I will go to Font-Romeu and prepare probably like all the triathletes going. Everyone is going in June to Font-Romeu. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Frankfurt, then already focusing on Nice after that, I think. Maybe some other things in between.
Probably I need another couple of weeks for recovery. Like the Ironman takes a bit longer than even me expected.
Okay.
And then I will check for sure the course in Nice. Go in there.
Smart.
And then prepare myself here in Girona for the last races.
A lot of cool things coming up. A lot of cool races coming up and exciting races towards this. Well, we just started, but towards the end of the Pro Series at the end of this year, which will, probably hopefully be a good paycheck in the end, right? It's a cool series. But now I actually was looking at your PTO ranking at the moment.
Okay.
And you are, I think, 40 or something like that, number 40, something like that. Because you told me last year you already have been doing Sanremo. I think you were second.
Second, yeah.
Second. You did the one in Spain, but now you've got massive points in South Africa, good points in Venice.
Mm.
There's also maybe a possibility towards some T100 races.
Yeah.
At one point, right?
That was initially the plan to get doing South Africa to get
enough points.
Enough points for the ranking.
Yeah.
So I got a better chance for a wild card in the T100 because the as an ITU athlete, it's basically kind of Olympic distance. It's 3-hour racing and should me suit well with a fast swim and fast run.
You see it right now, especially in the men this year with Hayden, with Leo, with
all the ITUs coming.
It's crazy. Right, yeah.
And that's the plan was. So my ranking now should put me there's I think there's a new ranking contender ranking or something.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I can add like T100 end of the year.
End of the year maybe, or somewhere in between.
Always ready.
Always ready. That's good to know.
If they listen, you can call me anytime.
For sure. I think we are slowly getting towards the end of the recording. I've got a couple of follower questions as well. We reached out on Instagram to see if people had a couple of questions. First one, and that's I gotta put some context to it, is as I thought, already talked about in the intro, is that you are a guy at every race that you do, you are at the front. And so that's for sure. That's because you're one of the fastest swimmers out there, but also because you start to run as a maniac. you're laughing already.
Wouldn't say a maniac, but I like to put the others under pressure.
Why do you always start to run so fast? Because, again, you're always at the front at the end of the bike. And then everybody's, it's in a pack together. And a lot of the races in ITU where you've won, you raced so fast out of T2, and you were like the first, depends on if it was a sprint or Olympic distance, but the first 1 or 2K, you were solo at the front, right?
True. I must say, I did it from when I was young already. So this is kind of my strength, I think. Like the fast transition. I'm a big fan of the fast transition. I practice it also a lot, the putting on the shoes for hours and stuff. So when I'm racing, I don't think that I have to do it. But it's kind of...
It ends up happening.
It's happening. When you're leaving transition, I've got a good transition, and then you're in front. Then my pacing is maybe not on point, but I like to put the others under pressure.
Okay.
And has been always like this. And sometimes it's worked out, sometimes not. Often it doesn't. But like in Cagliari, I was ran the first 1K in 2:38, 2:39. even had a gap on Alex and Hayden. Yeah. And then, but I finished sixth. So I was not
still very completely good result. Yeah. But it's because you said when you ran your first kilometer in 2:39, you can also think, of course, if you didn't run 2:39 but 2:55, for example, you would not reach so fast towards the higher limits, or your heart rate gets so high, or like lactate. Did you try it out as well? Like start?
I tried it and it was like not really working.
Okay.
Also, I think it's kind of in the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it worked when I was a bit tired and didn't have the speed. Then I was just running with the group, and it also helps a lot. But I had my best races when I did it, actually.
Yeah. So that's when you thought in South Africa, let's do it as well, but then on the bike, solo on the bike.
Before the race, I was like, okay, just stay in the group. But I got on the bike. I was like, okay, let's push it.
Yeah. Yeah. What is your... you've been to so many places for racing, but also for training. What is your favorite place to train?
I like Forme for training. It's close to here.
Yeah.
It's quiet roads, good training, good running, swimming.
How often have you been there?
Like 4 times now.
Okay. Yeah. Have you been a big fan of altitude training?
Not that really. Much, no. Because I like to train hard, and I like...
In altitude, you got to be careful a little bit.
Yeah, true. So I did like 2 or 3 times overtraining already in altitude training. So it's different training. But I also really like St. Moritz for running. I love it there.
Okay.
A bit expensive. So haven't been that often there. It's a nice place.
Have you been to maybe on a day off or whenever you still want to go out and do something? Have you been to some of the beaches in Girona already?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I like it actually. Even in the winter, I drive sometimes there after my sessions, going to the beach, put my legs in the water.
Really? Nice. Where do you go?
In Puglia Brava. Mm-hmm. And... what is it? That's most of the time we go there. Yeah.
Nice. And I think last question we actually haven't been talking about that. But is your dad still coaching you right now, or so who is your coach right now?
Yeah, my dad is my coach.
Yeah. Has he been
back
your coach all the time, or?
No, I was when I moved to France. I switched it because he was starting. I started with my dad, and then basically when I was 23, I changed the coach. And now, like 2 years now, I'm back with my dad.
Yeah.
It's kind of like I know what's good for me, and he has his experience and was working, and kind of we talk a lot, like every day, and talking about the program and how I feel, and he knows when I'm tired or sound tired, even he can hear it on the voice. Then we adapt the training. And I think it's really good, but you need someone you can trust, and it's working.
Yeah. Why change it then, right?
True.
Did your dad, because you told me he was trying to qualify for Sydney, but did he end up do a full or like a full or longer distance triathlon as well? Or?
No, he did. Only Roth.
Okay.
But
only Roth. Oh, only Roth.
But he hated it.
Oh, really? Okay.
So he was like, I don't have the experience. Go and try something different or look for a coach. But.
So still for the both of you, like this switch towards longer stuff is a little bit.
We're still learning. Yeah. And so we haven't changed too much in the training. And I think it's working also. Like the. To keep the speed for the 70.3.
For sure. Yeah. Do you see yourself still being a professional triathlete for a long time? Yet?
If the body holds, I hope to get another 4 or 5 years for sure. And then maybe see me on the other side from coaching. But
Is it something you're willing to do? looking forward
for
to?
For sure, for sure. And I like to stay within the sport and have the contact. And I like the atmosphere, the people in the triathlon family is really nice. And I think, especially now, there's a huge boom, or like the endurance sports after COVID, everyone is like kind of into it.
Nice. Last question of the podcast, and then we will wrap things up. What is the one thing you would want to say to your younger self?
Keep believing in yourself. It's not over until it's over. Like, there's always another race. There's always something. When you have a bad race, in the next weekend there's another race already coming up. So when I was, especially in the qualification process, and then I had a bad one, and you know, next week is another one, but you have to believe in yourself. If you don't believe, it's already over. So I think to keep going and trust yourself. Yeah.
Nice. Jonas, thank you so much for making some time in between the busy racing period and training period, of course. Thanks so much for coming on. I think especially with moving towards the Ironman Pro Series, there are a lot more people suddenly who are maybe getting to know you. Of course, you've been on the ITU scene for sure for long distance, but for a longer time. But still, the major amount of people who are doing triathlon are focusing on half Ironman, and suddenly now your name pops up as well. And again, it's Jonas Schomburg, not Stromberg. but for those people who where is the best place to follow you around? Is it on Instagram? Do you have Strava?
No, actually it's Instagram.
Okay.
Even though there's a lot of room for improvement, but okay. Yeah, follow me on Instagram, and so it's gonna be a nice journey.
Yeah, for sure. We are looking forward to follow the journey, not only this year because it's gonna be exciting, but also whenever you're trying to go to Kona, and as you told, maybe even LA. We'll see about that. Again, thank you so much. And this was the Great Grind Girona episode for now. And we will be looking forward towards our next guest. And until that time, good luck with all your training, and see you guys in the next Great Grind Girona.
1, 2.
This podcast is brought to you by the Dutch media platform Triathlon Inside.